include Hanukkah. Hanukkah, as is well known, is the period of time in the Jewish calendar. We focus on Torah Shebaal Peh, its critical importance for Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, there are those now, as there have been historically throughout, individuals who question both the institution of Torah Shebaal Peh, its critical nature, its importance, and its expositors, whether they be the Chazal, the Tanya of the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Gedolei HaTorah in the interim, or even the Chachamim of Zman Hazeh. And I'm here this morning to emphasize to you how critical it is to understand the depth, the sanctity, the eternity of Torah Shebaal Peh, how privileged you are as young men to be in this holiest of cities and to be connected to the Torah Kedosha. If there's nothing else that you emerge from this yeshiva with after a whole year or more, if there's nothing else but this intimate connection with Torah Shebaal Peh, with the realization, we say in Davin, we pay lip service, Ki heim chayeinu v'arach yameinu, u'behem nega yom v'layla. Let's say it in the negative, as was said by Rabbi Akiva, Kol ha'poresh mimcha k'poresh min achayim. Not only is Torah chayim, but you leave Rabbi Akiva, you leave Torah Shebaal Peh, you're leaving life. It's a kind of a spiritual suicide, Rachmana Litzlan. And there are mass suicides out there, even from among individuals who grew up in Torah homes with Shabbos and with Kashrus, but they don't hang on to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Eitz Chayim Ilam Achazikim Bo. Example is given by the Chazal. Somebody's sinking in the ocean, and he holds on to a log, and that log floats, and he survives. You let go, you're dead. And each and every one of you can and must have your own chelik and Torah. We say it all the time in our davening. For real. How do we know that Chanukah is the holiday of Torah Shebaal Peh? There are many indications. One of them, of course, is the very famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos. We make the bracha, Asher ki d'shava mitzosom mitzivonu. Ahadik ne'er shal Chanukah, heichan tzivonu. Where Hashem told us we have to light Chanukah, where? So the Gemara says, lo soso, shalavicha v'yageitcha. And the Gemara chose Chanukah, the Masechta Shabbos, the Sukkah of Chanukah, to drive home this point. So whatever we do, we follow the Chachmei HaMesorah. Hashem said, follow them. Follow what they say. They say, V'chinik ha-zachidish, Elo Sosu replies, I know the Chachmei HaMesorah of Mishnah and Gemara, Bim t'chachamish b'chol dar v'dar. Elo Sosu yom and small, from your Rebbe, from your Mesorah, from your Kabbalah, from your traditions. You know, the Yevanim, they were vicious. They tried to uproot some of the fundamentals. Probably familiar by now with the fact that they tried to uproot Shabbos. You understand very well Shabbos, that's the whole thing, host Shabbos. Even Mila, that was against their whole, they were so physical, they considered Mila to be barbaric and mutilating the beautiful body. They conducted their Olympics in the nude. Yeah, the word gym. Have you ever go to the gym? Hope you don't go naked. But the word gym in gym, gymnasia means naked in Greek. Shem Yerachim. You don't know Greek, guys. Greek to me, too. I never heard of it. That's what the books say. But they also want the area of Chodesh. No more Rosh Chodesh. What's the big deal about Chodesh? Shabbos, Mila, goes against their whole essence, you know? Chodesh? So the Mefarshim point out that Rosh Chodesh is the ultimate expression of the power of Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the one case where it's institutionalized, it's put into the rules. Atem afilu shogigin. Even if Chazal make a mistake and they get the wrong day, it doesn't matter. It's effective anyway. The ultimate power of Torah Shabbat Peh. Hashem gave the Chachmei HaMesorah, the Bezin HaGadol, here in this, right over here. Right over here, Islam is Be'ach. Gave them the power to establish the month, the calendar. If they got it wrong, the Adam came, and the moon, the whole, it doesn't matter, it's right. Even if they're wrong, they're right. It's like a kind of a low saucer, but here, for real, low saucer, because they assume that they're right. Here, if they're wrong, Greeks can handle it. Gotta get rid of that, too. I believe it's in the Sefer Paraditzch by Rabbi Hutner, Zichron Levrochi points out a remarkable idea. There are no Mishnayos about Chanukah. Purim, there's a whole Masechta Megillah. First half is all about the Megillah. So where's the corresponding Masechta Chanukah? It doesn't exist. Is the word Chanukah mentioned in the Mishnah ever? I look it up on your computer right now. 2 seconds. Look at Mishnayos. Huh? Search for Chanukah the Mishnayos. The Rebbe knows. It's the Baba Kama. The Rebbe's a bucket of Chol Mishnayos. Where else? Want to show me a bekiyas of Mishnayos? Where else? I'm testing the Rebbeim now. Where else is it? No, tell me this. I don't have to answer. Where else is Chanukah mentioned in Mishnayos? Anybody know? What did you say? Here you go. Okay. There you go. Where else? Bikurim. Who said that? Unbelievable. Bikurim. Yeah. Maybe Bikurim. At Hanukkah. Yeah. Where else? I don't remember. Could be. I think it's also in Shvi'a somewhere. But anyway, all those are all incidental. There's no Masechta, no Mishnayos and Chanukah. Why? So as Rav Hutner, I believe, said, it's the ultimate Torah Shabbat Peh. Not only is it about Peh, not found in Tanakh, for obvious reasons. Why is Chanukah not in Tanakh? Why? They asked the Tanakh, right? And they didn't want to put it in. They already sealed the Tanakh before. That's exactly the point. Torah goes on even after Tanakh is sealed. Even the Mishnayos, they didn't put it in. To emphasize that the whole thing is about Peh. The whole thing is a Sukkos HaGemara, a Braisa somewhere in Masechta Shabbos. So it's not in the Mishnayos. Today is not only Chanukah, today being the last day of Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah, I'd like to share with you a Medrash Tanchuma. On this, Bayom HaShemini, Nosed of Neiman Asher, tells us, first there's leftover Shemen, after 8 days you make a Madura, and there's the following incredible passage in Tanchuma. Lo Yomar Adam Eini Mekayim Mitzvah Zekeinim Olenim and HaTorah. A person shouldn't say, I'm not going to fulfill the rabbinical commandments, not in the Torah. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bonai, my dear sons, my dear children, Ein Atem Mashon Lo Makeh. You have no right to say that. Ela Kol Mashon Gozrim Aleichem Tiyu Mekayim. Whatever they decree upon you, you should fulfill. Shenemar, Lama! Why are you required to follow the Chachamim? She'afal divrayim ani maskim. I agree. Hashem endorses and confirms whatever the Chachamim say. Heida lecha, I'll prove it to you. She'ra Yaakov v'sho she'birach Menashe v'Ephraim. Ma kosev shom. V'yosem es Ephraim lefnei Menashe. Everybody knows that. Not this week's parsha. Next week's parsha. Vayechi. Osa kotten kolon agonol. This is revolutionary. Yaakov reverses the order. V'kiyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gzeir oso. And Hashem himself endorsed this reversal of Yaakov Avinu. How do you know? Amosai. V'korbonos ha-nesiim that we read today. Ephraim was yesterday. Yom HaShin Oslov Ephraim. Today was Menashe. So you see from today's Kriyas HaTorah and yesterday's that Hashem agrees to what Yaakov Avinu did, which was radical, putting Ephraim before Menashe. And similarly, presumably, Hashem agrees to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah and to all the other mitzvahs with the Rabbanon. Ad kan medrash tanchuma. What a remarkable passage. Incredible. To use your expression as a Havamina, they don't have to follow the Rabbanons. What's the conclusion? They have to follow the Rabbanon. What's the Havamina, as we say? What are we thinking? Tanchuma spells it out. Don't think you shouldn't follow the Tachon, that's not in the Torah. What do you think? I believe the answer to this lies in a critical lesson for each and every one of you sitting in this room. A critical lesson which you read in these parshiyos. This parsha we read last week, Parshas Miketz, and next week in Parshas Vayechi. They give me the Chumash Breshis right there with the Rashi. I can't even give it to you from the text. Thank you. Who are these two young men, Menashe and Ephraim? So the whole Medrash is based upon them. So if you recall, I hope everyone was in shul on Shabbos and paid attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. That's a bigger Kiddush. So I'm just being real, you know. So Ephraim, this is Torah Shavuot Ksav. This is Torah Shavuot Ksav. I'm not talking about that today. But you still have to listen to Torah Shavuot Ksav too. You have to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. Ephraim and Menashe are named in last week's parsha. Keep in mind how they're named and when they're named. Torah says as follows: Shema b'chor Menashe, ki nashani Elokim es kol amolav es kol beisavi. I read you the official art school translation. God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's household. The second one is Ephraim, ki Ephrani Elokim beretzoni. The official translation: God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Got it? So two names. Sure. Rabosai, there's just names. We'll come back to the names at the end. But what do they stand for? What do they do? What do they do? What Menashe did, whoever finished Chumash and Rashi of last week's parsha, it's already Wednesday. You have to finish by Tuesday afternoon, it says. But now you finished. Whoever finished Chumash and Rashi, you must have finished, should know a little bit what at least one of the two sons of Yosef Atai was doing with his time. Anybody? Yeah. Correct. Oh, correct. The guy's no Chumash and Rashi. I'm very proud. That's beautiful. Okay. Rashi says, the brothers are saying this, they're saying this, they're saying this, saying this, and this. And they assume that Yosef has no clue what they're talking about. Why? Why? Vehem lo yodu. They don't know that he understands what they're saying. Why? Ki hamelitz beinoso. What do you mean the melitz beinoso? Official translation, for the interpreter was between them. Rashi, this is Menashe. Menashe was the court interpreter. Okay? Court interpreter. Which means he's a man of the world. He knows languages. And yes, he knows politics. To be in a court, I don't know politics. Man, we get to way around the world. Good. You're not up to Vayechi yet. I can't expect you to know this. But while this is going on, or lady, what's Ephraim doing all day? What's Ephraim doing? What's Ephraim spending his time with? What does he do all day? Anybody? Learning with his grandfather. Forget it, Rashi. Vayom Ali Yosef. Who's this? Ephraim Hayarogil Lifnei Yaakov B'Talmud. Can you imagine that? So Ephraim is learning full time, even in later years. And Menashe is a man of the world. Perhaps, as Chazal explained Rashi again, why did Ephraim come before Menashe? Let's read it. Yosef is upset. My father Yaakov, why are you switching around? What are you doing to me? Look at the response. Yodati b'ni yodati. I know that what I'm doing. Gamhu yeliyam v'gamhu yigdo. Menashe will be great. Rashi, Gidon will come from him. Shakadosh Baruch Hu osnei soyado. Be a miracle in Gidon's time and say for Shoftim. V'ulam ochiva katon yigdal mimenu. V'zayim alo agoyim. Ephraim's going to be greater, says Rashi. She'osid Yoshua lotzeis mimenu. Yoshua is going to come from him. Yulame Torah Yisrael. What does that mean? Not only were Ephraim and Menashe themselves paradigms to Torah and worldliness respectively, but they're, how should we say, their most famous descendants, Yoshua and Gidon, respectively, reflected the same duality. Yeshua gave Torah to Moshe, people Torah, Messina, Mr. Early Yoshua. Whereas Gidon was a warrior, a battler. The Tziv explains, what did Yaakov do? Who can show me with his hands how Yaakov took care of these two sons? And what did he do? Well, like this, right? He put his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Menashe's. Asking the Tziv, that's a tough, you know, if you're 147 years old, you give me a pretty long bracha. It's a little tough like this. For sure. I had a much simpler solution. Just tell Ephraim, do me a favor, just move over here. And Menashe, move over here. And go like this. We're much easier. And then it said, no, you got it wrong. Yaakov wanted the Davka to have Menashe on his right knee. You know why? Because the knee, the foot, is the most powerful organ of the body. Very strong the foot. Don't use it that way, Chas v'Chalil. But it is. It's true. He wanted Menashe on his right foot, because in worldly matters, similar by the power, the force of the foot, Menashe has to be on the right. He is superior. Gideon was a greater warrior. Menashe was a man of the world. The right. When it comes to Torah, which you know with your head, we got to with your hands too, but we still learn with our heads. Here, Ephraim was superior, and Yeshua was superior. He had no choice to go like this. But Yosef is Ephraim of the Menashe, because Torah is more important than worldly matters. But here's my chiddush for you. Listen very carefully. Torah is not only more important, but Torah is also significantly and fundamentally different in our approach to it, in contradistinction to worldly matters. Let me explain. In worldly matters, you have to be, as they call it in America today, on the cutting edge. I'm not sure the source of that phrase, frankly. But that's what they call. You have to be ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, always developing new ideas, new technologies, new diplomacies, new military strategies, always new. Whoever fights the last war is doomed to failure. It happened here. Six-day war, we were ahead, and then the Egyptians caught up with us, with the Russians, and that was the disaster of the Yom Kippur War.
those SAM missiles that we didn't know how to combat the first couple of weeks. We lost thousands of soldiers. Rahmana litzlan, burned in their tanks. For that one mistake. One! Thousands of lives. We'll fight in the last war. Just imagine someone come back today who was from the dead, from a generation ago. They wonder about the politics. Okay, yes, you only had two superpowers. The United States and the Soviet Union. And it's a cold war. You probably haven't even heard of it. Maybe you learned about it in school. When you grew up, the whole life was the cold war. Are they calling it the cold war? Get bomb shelters in America. It was a whole probably different matter. The Russian Nukas, Kennedy in the early 60s, or the fight in the Cuba. So what, am I 50 years ago? Two powers like this. Russia collapsed. So now it's over 20 years. It's collapsed. The guy comes back to the world. So what? What are you saying? What? Different world. And the technology. When we grew up, it was a computer. It was called UNIVAC. It filled up a room this size and had vacuum tubes and did a couple of things. Now this little chip. And every phone you have after 2 years is already obsolete. Maybe 2 months already. I don't know. It's new technology, the new computer. Everything's new. How'd your great-grandfather make a living? Who knows? He lived in Europe or somewhere on the Lower East Side. How'd he make a living? You know, anyone know? In history? You know? Store owner. Had a good little dry goods store, maybe. Or a dairy. Maybe he was a tailor or a shoemaker.
Selling color
songs. That's how the Yidlach made living in Europe or even the Lower East Side. Today, you guys, I know what you want to be. I know what you want to be. Doctors and lawyers and accountants and psychologists and business people, you know, for high finance, for MBAs, up to a whole new world. A whole new world. That's where it's supposed to be. You can't expect to make a... I was talking around, the guy's asleep. I didn't mean to wake anybody. Gezel Shena, I'm a serious child. So, the oldest trick is sit behind the Rebbe. I knew these tricks. The Rav Shira sat in the corner, he couldn't see that well on that side. So, you have to be new. You have to be new, Rav Osai. Who symbolized this? Gideon had to devise a new strategy. You know, who knows what Gideon's strategy was? Yeah.
Was he ordered the bottle of cocktails?
Well, I would say it's more like the Davidka. You know what a Davidka is? You have a pesky car, Davidka? It's a bluff. The bluff. We had no guns in 48. There are no guns. They had this Davidka. Made a lot of noise. They ran away from the noise. It was Gideon. They took a page out of Gideon's playbook. Gideon had nothing. They came with the chauffeur and they pictures and they made noise and light. Everyone ran away. It was a bluff. Mamish a bluff. Just imagine. It's written up in the London School of Strategic Studies. Gideon bluffed out the Plishtim. Okay. And then he fights another battle the next year. Tries the same bluff. Gets slaughtered. We know this trick already. The Arabs forgot about it with the Davidka. They hadn't studied Shoftim recently by the time. luckily. They had the Koran, not the Bible. I didn't see. You have to have a new strategy. What does it say by Gideon? Lech b'chochacho ze v'oshat es Yisrael. Devise your own strategies, your own forces. You have to save them with your own new innovative strategies. This is the essence. Gideon is Menashe. Always new things. What's the opposite of that? Yeshua. We said before, Moshe kibbutz Torah v'nisita masorah Yeshua. What did Yeshua do? Did he try new things? To the contrary. Why did he get the job in the first place? Yeshua ben Unar lo yomish mitocha oel. You know what the Medrash said about Yeshua? What did he do? He cleaned the base Medrash. It was a Yid who was so concerned with the old traditions. Chazal say, Pnei Moshe ke Pnei Chama,
Moshe's face like the sun. Upnei Yoshua kipnei levana.
What does it mean, kipnei levana? What does the levana do? Reflects the sunlight.
The opposite. In worldly matters, we have to have always new. Torah, old. Reflect the glory of the previous generation. Yeshua was chosen for leadership precisely for that reason. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu. He reflected his radiance and his glory. Think about it for a minute. Goes back to the beginning. We started with the names of Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe, Nashani Elokim, Hashem, make me forget. In worldly matters, forget. Forget the diplomacy of yesterday. Forget the military strategy. Forget the technology. Everything is new. What's Ephraim? Hifrani Elokim. A fruit. The fruit you had yesterday is the same as the fruit in Gan Eden. The same fruit just replicated itself. Everyone understand what I'm saying? In the back, understand me? Oh. Now we close Chumash Bereishis. Go back one more time to the Medrash Tanchuma. And see the depth what Chazal are telling us over here. A fellow will say, I'm not going to follow the Mitzvah Torah. It's not found in the Torah. He's coming from a good instinct. He says the Torah doesn't change. He just turned my shear. He wants to keep the old Torah, the guy who came from Moshe Mitzvah. What's this newfangled religion with this Hanukkah stuff? I'm not going to keep this. This is newfangled. I'm not going to keep this. No, not going to keep it. Loyoma Odom, Eini Mekayim, Mitzvaskanim, Holeinim in our Torah. It's not a bad thought. Rabosai, it's not a bad thought. It's not in the Torah, I'm not going to keep it. Hashem says, it's not a bad havamina, but it's not a maskana. You must keep it. Why? I'll prove it to you. Yaakov Avinu put the Ephraim before Menashe, and I, the Rebbe Shalom, endorse it by putting the Nasi Ephraim, whom we read yesterday, before Menashe, about whom we read today. Why did they pick this example? That's the whole essence. Yes, Ephraim stands for pre. Just repeat the old-time religion. Menashe is the one who changes things and forgets things all the time. Nonetheless, here in this very crux of these two brothers and what they represent, of all places, here is the place that Yaakov Avinu makes this incredible change and puts Ephraim before Menashe. And you know who listens to him? No less an authority than the Rebbeinu Shlom Kaviyachol, B'chvodo V'atzmo. He listens to the change of Yaakov Avinu. You know why? Because Yaakov Avinu, Rabosai, perhaps more than any of the Avos, Yaakov Avinu was the one who represents tradition. He's the one who brought up the Shiftei Kah. He's the one we talk about, Ruach Yisrael Saba. He is the grandfather of all of Klal Yisrael. Yes, Yaakov Avinu made a change. But he only made this change coming from his vantage point, being someone whose primary role and goal in life was not to make changes, was to preserve and conserve what he received from Avraham and Yitzchak and pass to the next generation. Yet even Yaakov understood that there comes a time when you have to make changes, innovations. And if somebody who's even with this, what I call conservative bent, with a small c, that he wants to keep things the way they are, but once in a while a change is necessary, you have to follow that fellow. You have to follow that guidance. If somebody is interested in change for the sake of change, that's terrible. Don't listen. If someone is not interested in change, to the contrary, his whole way of thinking is not to change anything, and he himself makes a significant change, that change must be followed. That's exactly the lesson of this Medrash Tanchum. Yaakov made a change with Ephraim before Menashe, and I endorsed it yesterday in today's lightning. So too, if Yaakov's descendants, the Chachmei Yisrael, introduce Hanukkah, you have to listen. Because they make their changes not for the sake of change. Change for the sake of change is good only in the world, in worldly matters of Menashe, not in the prime world of Torah. But even in the world of Torah, here and there, there's a requirement for something new, innovative, dramatic. Then you have to listen. This, Rabbi Osai, is the critical role of the Chachmei Yisrael throughout the generations. They are the ones that were entrusted to keep the Torah going. You know, the Chachmei Yisrael, the Chachamim of every town in Germany in the 19th century, was so, things were going so bad, reform, they signed their names, Shomrei Mishmeres HaKodesh. My job is to preserve the holy Mishmeres, which is itself the word preserve. I have to preserve what has to be preserved, which is sanctified, which is holy. That's my main job. And then we say that after I preserve that, once in a while there's a need to put in something new. But if all I'm trying to do is make an ovation for its own sake, then I don't deserve to be the Rav in the first place. The guy wants to make change, to make a name for himself, not to learn the shame. It's a disaster. There are flogs that want to make a name for themselves. And there are plenty of people today, some with the name Rabbi and some without, or they want to make a name for themselves. A disaster. Total and absolute disaster in spiritual matters. You, as young Talmidim, are fortunate to be able to experience Rebbeim, both the Rebbeim who are sitting here in this room, and the big Rebbeim who frequent these places and thereabouts and this holy city, to see them, to be close with them, to listen to them. This for you is a lifeline. And you know, these Rebbeim are here to preserve our ancient and holy tradition. And once in a while, Rebbeim introduce new things. Some of them seem to be radical departures from existing practices and seem to even go against a simple reading of even Talmudic statements. But if these individuals are spiritual giants and we know that their fundamental interest is preserving Klal Yisrael, and they say they endorse a change, then and only then should you and should Klal Yisrael be following that. I'll give you one example only. I want to open the floor to Q&A. One example. This may affect some of the Q&A too. The greatest halachic work that is utilized by the masses of Klal Yisrael that was written in the last century is the Mishnah Berurah. The Shiru was completed about a bit over 100 years ago. The Holy Chafetz Chaim, author of Mishnah Berurah and some of the other important works, because it doesn't need my editorial comment, that Tzadik Yisod Olam, he is the one who gave his endorsement to what might be considered the most significant change of 20th century Judaism. What's that? Correct. Jewish education for women. Radical. Radical and seemingly against the Gemara. Seemingly. He gave it a full blessing, a warm letter of endorsement. He wrote about it a little bit in his Likutei Halacha from Masechta Sota. And the whole world changed. Because he was a Chofetz Chaim. Read his holy works. His whole essence is simply to preserve what came before. He's not interested in making a name for himself. He's here to preserve Torah Shel Bichtav and Torah Shel Baal Peh. And when he says march, we march. Even in a different way than we're marching beforehand. each and every one of you, hang on to this tree of life, the Torah Shel Baal Peh, and the Chachmei Kol Dor V'Dor. Hang on for dear life, literally. Your life depends upon it. Your spiritual life depends upon it. Your entire life depends upon it. Spend your time in this holy city attached to Torah Shel Baal Peh. Each one according to his own capacity. Some no more, some no less. Some can learn Chumash and Rashi. That's also Torah Shel Baal Peh, the Rashi. Some can learn Gemara, Mishnayos, Halacha. Some with Tosfos, some without Tosfos. Some with the Rashi and the Ranan, and some without. And some with the... with anyone, Kiddushin? Mm-hmm. Some with the Rashba, and with the Avnei Meluim, and some without. Doesn't matter. Your chelik in Torah is critical. And everybody has a chelik. Every Talmud. You can sharpen your rabbis, will sharpen their rabbis, will sharpen their rabbis. As the Gemara puts it, it's like a small little twig. You start a flame. It's bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember once my son, who was a rabbi in this holy city, when he was in second grade, I believe it was, had a shtickl Torah. I'll end with my son's shtickl Torah from second grade, only because I want to tell you how far it went. We have Chumash and Rashi, I'll show it to you. It's nothing to do with just what an 8-year-old can think of and how high I can get in the stream of things. It's in a Rashi we had a while ago, a couple of weeks ago, Parshas Chayesara. End of the Parsha. It says, amazing Rashi. V'levnei pilakshim, the children of the concubines, says Rashi, choseksiv, some versions, no yud. Shlohoris ala pilegash achas, hi hogar hi ktur. That's it. There's only one pilegash. He asked Moshe Willig as an eight-year-old, Abba, so why does it say Pilegesh? What do you mean? It's only one person. So why does it say two? I said, Moshe, that's a good question. Abba, I have an answer. What's the answer? I heard you speak before Yontif. It was Mrs. Rachel. It was Rosh Hashanah time. You quoted a Rambam. And the Rambam says that if a person does tshuva, he's like a new person. Ish acher. That's pshat. She went away. Hagar left. We know she left. She went on her own far away to Mitzrayim. And she came back. She did tshuva. So it's like two people. I said, wow. So tell your Rebbe. So his Rebbe was a man named Rabbi Dreyfus, who was a Rebbe in second grade in Breuers at the time. We're talking now back 30 years ago. He was so in his spoil, he told the Rosh Hashiva. Rosh Hashiva was Rabbi Perla, now the head of the Agudah. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Breuers at the time. He was so in his spoil, he told Rabbi Huttner. It was the last year of Huttner's life. It was just, so he had the only Adar Mama hearing about Torah from an 8-year-old. He was 7 years old. He was nifter before. He was 7 years old at the time. Second grade. You were in his class? Were you same age as Moshe?
Yeah, below
me. So Rabbi Ronas can say they were the same Rebbe, the same... I gave the names right, right? Rabbi Perlot Roshim. Same type boys. You are the chelik. Everyone is over 7 years old. Right? Bas kuf ke bas chof, bas chof ke bas zayim. So you're 20, so the chidush of a 7-year-old. Everyone has a chelik in Torah. Everybody. So one little twig to a bigger log, to the biggest logs. You know, that's how it goes. Gentlemen, ashreinu matov chelkeinu, ki heim chayenu v'orech yomeinu, uvahem nega yom v'alayla. You're so fortunate. You're so fortunate. How's it going as soon as you get the weddings? Ashreichem tamidei chachamim. How's it go? I know how the two goes. What are the words after that? Shedivrei Torah, Chavivim Aleicha. You love it. You can't taste. But I have to keep it in life. Don't just have to sing songs. So I can sing songs too. I don't mean anything. Chavivim Aleicha. So you can't put yourself away. Your love for Torah is so strong. Your attachment is so strong. That's your connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avas HaTorah is Avas Hashem. Rambam said so. The Rambam says so. Look at the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva. Chazal says so, really. V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. How? How? Next pasuk. Rambam quotes it in Sefer Mitzvahs. V'hoyo advar v'ela ala v'mecha. The Torah should be right here on your heart. Here, here. Right here. Here. I shouldn't say here. Should really be... I'll take off my shirt. Should be here. Under the tzitzis, under the other... Alev HaMecha Mamesh. There. Then it leads to Avas Hashem. I'll end with the Dubna Magid story. The Dubna Magid tells the following mashal. It was this expert tailor who was such an expert tailor. He could just look at you, size you up, and make a suit directly for your measurements. Good. The guy walks in. Somehow Morris doesn't know anything about tailoring. Huh? He walks in, and he heard he got a few dollars. The guy makes this perfect suit. Good. So what does he do? He walks outside, and he takes, you know, he's wearing a suit, and he puts his other suit on. Doesn't fit. It's on top of the jacket. You understand what's going on? Doesn't fit. He comes back. A chutzpah. They tell me he's an expert tailor. I paid a portion of money, it doesn't even fit, I can't get it on. He says, fool that you are. You're wearing it on top of your jacket. Take off your jacket, put it on. Oh. If the Torah is Alev Avecha, then at least Avas Hashem. If you're putting your Torah up, it's Alev Avecha over here. Your cell phone's in between, you know, and other things I don't want to get into it right now, that separate between the Torah and your heart. That's not going to lead to Avas Hashem. You're not going to have Avas HaTorah either. Chalila v'chas, you're letting go of what keeps your heart pumping. Torah HaKadosha. It's my bracha that each and every one of you will understand this lesson. The crucial connection between yourselves and the Kodesh Baruch comes through Torah Sheva'al Peh. Chanukah is Torah Sheva'al Peh. Chanukah not in the Mishnayos. Chanukah Heichan Tzivanu V'lo Sasur. Chanukah Rabosai, this incredible holiday that the Greeks want to knock out Rosh Chodesh, it's the Chachmei HaMesorah. This is the whole thing is Torah Sheva'al Peh. After Torah Sheva'al Ksav is over, this is the holiday of Ephraim before Menashe. We read about today and yesterday. The Torah Sheva'al Peh, even as Chidushim, even though it's fundamentally to keep preserve the glory of yesteryear, occasion the Chidushim through Chachmei HaMesorah, you had to listen to them. You're lucky, you have such wonderful rebbeim. Listen to them. Be tight with them. Hold on to them. The Dov Kobo, how do you cleave to Hashem? Chazal say, Hashem is Eish Och Eish, a consuming fire. No. Hidavi B'tamid HaChachamim. Follow your rebbeim. Follow the teachings of the rebbeim and whoever else, the Gedolim of our generation. If you do so, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll all be zocheh to a lifelong passion. And I use the word advisedly. A passion for Torah Sheva'al Peh. It's only in the schus of this passion you will lead lives of, as B'nai Torah and establish homes of Torah and continue to preserve the Torah till the time of the Mashiach. Amen. Amen. Amen.